This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us today. Ava, you're here.
I am.
I'm here. Conspicuous by his absence, Don.
He should be here.
We're not sure.
We'll see if he makes it.
See if he strolls in at some point. You know, late bloomer or whatever they call it. It's all good. Going to have some fun today. Lots of cool stuff. Little comments going on about Erie. It's coming up open water season. If you have not fished Lake Erie, a lot of positives coming out of that. And a story we've been following throughout probably all of this last part of the year on the tournament scam cheating going on. A little bit of update on that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Good to see you, Ava.
It's always good to see you, Eric.
That's a great way to be a day brightener. And I'm very glad to have everybody that joins us every week. We never say much about that. It always surprises me how many people actually listen, because I just think it's us sitting here in the studio. That's it.
We're a little entertaining, kind of likable, so.
And darn it, people like us. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Just maybe.
We try. We give it a shot. And we hope to come up with some fun stories and be informative at the same time, which is also important. But I would be remiss if we didn't have a little conversation, because things have already started to, shall we say, break loose or break free or just break. We've had people go through the ice already. This is kind of one of those things where it looks, and I've got a story coming up with that, and so the ice out scenario looks like it's going to be later than normal, but if you're going to go out on the ice, doggone it.
It's been a bad year for ice.
All the way around.
Too much snow.
Well, and that's part of the late ice scenario that's going to go on across probably the central to northern part of the state. But nonetheless, being safe out there right now is a big deal. I know people like to get that last bit of ice fishing. They push the limits. They go out. Not a good thing. Be cautious. You can get some spots that are no issues, others that are going to be a major problem. So don't push it, period. Don't push it. Now, on the other hand, same thing holds true with the early water fishing, open water fishing, I should say early open water. And I know people like to get out there, but be careful as well, because what ends up happening, and I've had this happen, if there's ice on the lake and you do have an ability to launch your boat, seen it where you go in the morning and then in the afternoon you can't get to the launch ramp because you've got ice blown into your ramp. So be fully aware of what things you may have to do to get your boat back on the trailer. And that can be a bit of a problem. I know the Rainy River, that bite is rock star. That's going big time. I know the river down here in Red Wing, that's also taken off, and people are catching some massive fish. So lots of opportunities to catch fish. Lastly, etiquette when you're doing this fishing at this time of year, the spring fishing, early spring, when it does freeze, please, the etiquette is when you launch your boat, bring your boat to the edge of the ramp. Once either you've launched, pull the boat so the wheels are just at the edge of the ramp, so the most of the trailer is still near the edge of the water. Do not pull your trailer while it's still just torrentially dripping water. Drive it up onto the ramp and take off. Not a good call. Why? Because it will freeze, and the next person or you may have an issue, and you will slide all the way down into the water without brakes. Because last time I checked, when you put the brakes on and it's ice, you just still keep going, especially on the incline.
Yep.
So ramp etiquette is extremely crucial. So please let your boat drain at the water line. Let the water come off it. The tires can be just in the water and your trailer be clear, but it lets the water drop. Just give it a 40 seconds, something like that. Maybe, you know, just to let it dry or
quit dripping.
Most of it. Yeah. Literally, because it's a ton of water. And there's some people that just pull it right up and literally tear up the ramp, and it carries water. Literally, a pool of water comes
all the way
up, lake of water. So really important there. And understand that there are other people out there, and it's always good. We'll talk about more ramp etiquette as the season goes on, just little tips and tricks. But in this case, this is a crucial one. So a lot of people don't know when they do launch a boat and it's icy conditions. It's not good. If somebody walks across the ramp, they don't notice it, same thing happens. They'll wipe out. So it's kind of a bummer, I would say, let's say the least.
Yeah, I mean, all good things to remember, though, because if it's been a while, you could forget about that, you know?
Well, here's the other, might as well get into it. We talked a little bit about it last week. When you do launch your boat and you bring it back up and it's cold water, do not, as I normally will do in summer, I don't worry about clicking the latch on the way up the ramp. I don't worry about it because I know the boat's not going anywhere. You can't budge that boat. Now, however, that boat's been sitting out wet, frozen. When you come back at the end of the, let's say it's 5-6 o'clock at the end of the day, you put that boat back on, you better darn well make sure that you click the ratchet strap or the front hook, the winch strap, to the bow eye and make sure that you have that connected, because all too often I've seen not good things happen.
Right
Well, and last year we had two incidents. I was privy to one. I was there for one of them. Several gentlemen were launching their boat and they unhooked the ratchet strap and it dumped the boat onto the ramp so that it was literally hanging at a 45 degree angle with no rope on it. And the back end was on the bottom of the ramp on the concrete and the trailer was supporting it in the middle. So we had to don't move the truck. Grab the strap, hook it up, winch it down a little bit, and then have four guys jump onto the front of the boat so we could ratchet it back down, pull the boat off of the ramp, and then slowly back that boat down. Another one actually launched completely onto the concrete, and when they had to get a crane to get it back up onto the trailer. So this is the time of year when things happen that you just... You don't think about it. Maybe it's 50 degrees during the day, but overnight it can freeze and cause major problems. So,
dude, all these things. But you know what? It's kind of like if you're going to make the mistakes, do them now.
Well,
because everybody, you know, you're not going to be the only one that makes a mistake.
Yeah, but the mistakes now can be kind of bad for the health of your equipment.
Yes, I am not saying make terrible mistakes. I'm saying those little things. Just
make
remember.
Sure you don't make a bad big one that causes the rest of the year to be unhappy.
Yeah, no cranes involved.
No cranes involved. All right. Well, we're not going to have cranes involved in the next part of the show. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hey guys, make sure you stop by thevalleyoutdoors.com. Check out the cool stuff we got going on the website and send us some pictures. What the heck? Let's get some fun spring walleye pictures up. Send them to us here at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yeah.
And then we'll put them up on Facebook. We can share them there. If you want to share them over to our page, we certainly can do that as well. And lots of cool stuff going on. I know in the first part of the show, we talked a little bit about what's going on with the weather, and we're not seemingly getting by spring. Ski areas added another week. If you look out west, they're planning on, in Colorado, skiing well into June. announced it. July is now Mammoth Mountain is July. I mean, it just keeps coming and coming.
It's always winter in the mountains.
Not to mention some of the things that have been going on in the air this later part of this week and into the weekend. So, precipitation wise, so yeah.
We're not talking about that though.
No, we're not. Let's jump into it. I know last year I had a plans to do some a charity event up at CAB and for some veterans, and they had to cancel the event because the ice wasn't going to be out on CAB. Boy, looks like it's a little questionable this year. The story goes, later than normal, ice out is expected in this year for spring in Minnesota. Any northern tier states in the Midwest, it's going to be the same thing. Ice out period is just beginning and working away from south to north. Some experts expect ice out to be later than usual, unless something tragically or unexpectedly happens in a warm weather scenario. And the reason I say tragically, I think you would agree, Ava, if we get a if we get a warm spell that does not cool overnight, we could be in a world of hurt.
Yep.
So that's why I say tragically. We're running behind already, says Pete Poulet, assistant state climatologist for Minnesota State Climate Office. Not much of a surprise to anybody. Ice out might run later this spring, in part because daily temperatures have been below normal and the temperature needs to be above freezing overnight to start melting ice consistently. Also, the ice on lakes is covered with snow across the state, which makes it slower to melt. Snow must melt first before any high temperature can take effect on the ice, which I did not know. We've got really deep snow, and the snow insulates the ice to keep it from melting. And the reason I say I didn't know that, if you look at what happens with the warm temperature, you think, well, no big deal. It's just going to melt the snow, but it doesn't have that same effect. It's got a different structure to it, so it's not the same on the ice. So,
gotcha.
Kind of an interesting thing. Since lakes basically start melting from the top and the sides, you have to melt off that snow, turn it to slush, turn it to water, before you really get down to transferring a lot of heat to the ice. Downing said that one key stat in thawing degree days, or that's TDD, thawing degree days, a measure of the accumulated springtime heat, for example, if the air temperature is 15 degrees above freezing during the day, that would equal 15 thawing degree days. Okay, so it's 15 degrees above freezing during the day.
It would take 15 days for it to... Okay, gotcha.
He added that it takes about 220 TDD, or thawing degree days, to have a 50-50 chance of ice out on a lake. As of March 17th, Downing said that there have been zero TDD since January 1st. He expects that to begin next few weeks, but he anticipates ice out like last year. Last year was late. It's going to be late again this year. Deep snow to the north, obviously, ice out for lakes such as Mille Lacs and others, the range of May 6th to May 8th, plus or minus 5 days, which encroaches on the May 13th fishing opener. We've had three different types of ice out in the past 3 years. In 2020, it was fairly normal ice out season. In 2021, it was faster than normal, with most lakes having ice out by the middle of April. Then last year, we had later than normal ice out. As of March 19th, there were no ice out reports on Minnesota DNR's Lake Ice Out Dates webpage. And that's one of the places where you look to see what's going on within the state. Shoreline break of the ice is usually first noted. Gusty winds. Wind is a big help. They push the ice from one end of the lake to the far shoreline and the other opening and possibly opening in the center. Then basically that's how it transfers. And then you start to get a lot of breakup. People know that in Mille Lacs when it starts piling up on shore and they have to move it with front end loaders, et cetera. In the middle of the state, Mille Lacs had an ice out date May 2nd in 2022. In 2021, it was April 7th. And in 2020, it had a date of April 26th. In the northern part of the state, Red Lake had an ice out of May 10th last year. Ice out a month earlier in 21. And with a date of April 3rd in 2020. So, yeah. He said it depends on the volunteers to determine ice out dates for their maps and charts. Downing said they have regular volunteers who help with the information. He recommends people use the Minnesota Sea Grant Facebook page to report an ice out. Boulay said reports can also come from the Minnesota DNR Climate Office Facebook page. And they're comedians over there. He said, it looks like Governor Walz is probably smart setting the fishing opener for Mankato this year. And they chuckled about that. So fun stuff, guys. I got to tell you, hey, stick around. After these messages, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on Lake Erie. You're going to want to hear this. Bye.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, guess who strolled in?
For Ava? The last part of the show.
I know. Yeah. It's just one of these.
Could hardly wait.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as he made it,
I had good intentions.
Okay. It would have been easier if he wouldn't have been here, but that's okay. We can't talk about him now.
Dang.
Yeah, I heard that happen last week.
Yeah.
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 Something about you can get the show done quicker when I'm not around.
Wait a minute.
It's true. We don't have catfish comments. We don't have, it's a lot of different stuff going
on.
Yeah.
What a whiner.
We're not the ones that, we're happy. We're excited.
We're not allowed to have fun when Don Cleaver.
I thought maybe they missed me. But
both David looked at, when he saw him walk by, we're like, oh, crap.
Here we go.
We got another 45 minutes to go now.
No, it's
going to
take twice as long. No, well, we're happy you're back.
A cool story. I agree. Absolutely. Cool story, Don. Lake Erie, obviously a big fishery. Amazing fishery. If you haven't been to Lake Erie, have you been?
I have.
Okay. Lots of ways to fish it. If you don't want to be hardcore, you can jump on one of the six-pack boats that'll take you out. You can do some jig fishing, have fun, get your limit of six fish, come back in. You can have fun. You don't have to be out there when it's rock and rolling. But if you want to go after it, you can get a guide and troll for some of these big pigs that are there. Go for a small...
What's the best time of year?
This time of year.
This time of year?
Well, say that. No. It's this time of year. The problem with this time of year, it can be as...
Chilly.
It's a good question. No, because either way, it's chilly. The difficult part now is you need to get out to the reefs and the outer edge of the reefs. And the fish are moving on a significant daily basis. They're moving. When you go in fall, you can go a mile out, put your baits, and just troll. You don't have to be like out in among whatever. With spring, they spawn on the reefs, they move off, and then they start migrating to the east. That can be where it is sometimes problematic. But the payoff is amazing because you've got these spawning fish that can be massive.
Right.
And the issue is if you do go for 2 or 3 days, plan on maybe 1 or 2 of those 3 days being washed out because of weather. You do not want to force yourself to go out in Lake Erie when it's not good.
Well, unfortunately, that was my experience. I was out there back when they had the...
PWT,
and I was at the World Walleye Championship just covering it, and it was not kind on the day I went on. And then they wanted me to ride with one of the pros, and I go, no.
You're smarter than that?
Oh, yeah, no.
So this is one of the other things that comes up on Lake Erie as well. When you get a big wind on Lake Erie, it's shallow. People think Erie's a deep lake. It's not. It's... say 35 feet. Western Basin is where we're talking about. If you can take a line and take, there's a big island out there called Pelee up from Canada, draw it right straight south to a point, it's called Catawba Point. Anything west of that's Western Basin. So Detroit River, if the weather gets bad, you can go fish Detroit River. But what happens is the wind blows and that mud bottom gets churned up and turns into chocolate milk. If it turns to chocolate milk, you can just about write off the trolling side of it. What you do is you go online and then you start looking for clear water. So methodologies are there to help you find where there is good fishing or at least fishable water, because you'll see the satellite imagery that will come up. You can pull up satellite and you can see chocolate milk. Literally, it can cover the whole Western Basin, but mm-hmm. you'll see pockets. You can go out and work those pockets as long as the weather's good enough to do so. It makes it difficult, though. But understanding the challenges with Erie reaps the reward, thus the story. Lake Erie and perch numbers remain high with big expectations for 2023. No size or bag limit changes are expected for the Michigan waters of Lake Erie and the Committee for the Great Lake Fishery Commission, which is meeting soon. The committee consists of senior fishery staff members from the DNR, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, Ohio Department of Natural Resources, the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, and Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. There's a lot of people get together on that thing.
Yep.
And each year they establish a total allowable catch or TAC for the entire lake. Then they break down each state's allowable catch based on the amount of the lake each state or province manages. The current bag limit is 6 fish of at least 15 inches in length. And this is the cool part about this fishery, and I have this asked of me a lot when I say I'm in a fishery. Daily is not, as it is in Minnesota and a lot of other states, your possession. It's how many days you're there is your daily. You add it up.
Oh.
So if you're there for 6 days times six, you can take 36 fish or whatever the case may be. And again, early season can change the possession.
You're going to have a lot of pounds of walleye there.
Yeah. So the lakewide harvest of the state was 9.3 million walleyes last year.
Wow.
The second highest harvest going back to 1977. That's better than most years during the great walleye fishing of the mid-80s, according to harvest data from 84 to 88. The walleye harvest ranged from 6.5 to 10 million fish. Strongest harvest numbers should continue this year. 2022 year class was above average. The average number of walleyes are catched in the trawl survey is 56 fish per hectare. And last year we had 86. The 2021 year class had 346 per hectare. 1 hectare equals 2.47 acres. We had a strong year class in 2021. They started picking up right. That's obviously right now they're catching a bunch of them in the Detroit River. Weather's changed that a little bit. We're seeing a lot of 14 and a half inch fish from the 2021 year class. They said they will grow quickly. There'll probably be a lot of short fish in the early season, but they should grow 15 inches by midsummer. So this should be legal fish by midsummer. Earlier year classes, there'll be a lot bigger fish in a 3, 4, and 5 year classes, so a lot of mixed bag catches.
So legal fish in Erie is a 15 inch?
Yep, 15 inch minimum. Lakewide abundance last year is estimated at 71 million fish, a good mix of 2, 3, and 4 year old class. Strong year classes in 5 years in a row, so it should be good for the foreseeable future. And that's kind of the way they look at it. They look at the yearly averages. Is it going to be up or down? And of course, the other part is the forage base, and we'll talk about it in a second, but yellow perch, big thing at an Erie. People love to go perch fishing. Nothing is going to change. Expect it to be really good this year as well. Expect it to be higher this year than the previous year, like about 53 million fish over the half of the age are 2 years old, and there's 36 million of that, so significant increase there. Fishing in Erie should be good. Walleyes are there. Good perch out there. We just hope the perch show up when the anglers could get after them, they said. And they're seeing great production of fish. So no concern in Lake Erie whatsoever, Don.
No, you know, I've never actually made the trip since I was out there. Might be something to consider.
Well, if you're not experienced out there, it's pretty easy. Bring your boat, hire a guide for a day, get a handle on where you go, and then just go mimic what you just did.
Right.
If you don't want to venture out and try and troll, then go pick a reef, get some minnows, and believe it or not, getting spearmint alcohol, put your minnows in a bag and put spearmint alcohol in the bag so it kind of cures them, and then just dump the alcohol out, you know, have them in the refrigerator, just put them in, dump the alcohol out in the morning and bring them out with you and put them on your jig. You don't have to dig through your minnow bucket, and it works amazingly well. That's a little secret tip for you. They love the scent, apparently, and it works gangbusters.
Now, how did someone discover that? There's another whole story.
I can't divulge how that was actually found to be a viable scenario, but I do know I used it in a tournament, and the bite in the morning went downhill, and I had those handy, and went over to a reef, and I was right next to, actually, if anybody's ever watched Fishing 411 with Mark Romanak, they were filming an episode on Niagara Reef. I slid on a Niagara Reef. I didn't know it was. Everybody's bundled up, right? And slid next to him, and I was just crushing him. And Mark says,
"What are you doing?"
And his son Jake were there. Yeah, and they said, "Hey, Olson, that was impressive." I'm like, I didn't even know they were there. I was just so concentrated. And they said, "Well, when the fishing goes south, you can't win it on the first day, but you can lose it." So what did we end up doing? We got our 15 pounds. The next day went out and crushed them and ended up in fifth place. So pretty cool stuff. Well, hey, guys, the show flies by rather quickly. Thanks for joining us. Don, thanks for stopping in for a couple comments.
Yes,
appreciate that always. Thanks for everybody for hanging out with us. We are the Valley Outdoors for Ava, Don, and me, Eric. We are out.